Welcome to Basic Gospel. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, reminding you that if you'll keep listening, you'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day, and how the Word of God can help us all experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a pressing issue you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. Lines are wide open right now at 1-800-677-9377. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Well, Bob and Richard, it's 9/11/2013, and of course, today marks the 12th anniversary of the attacks on New York City, Washington, D.C., the crash of United Flight 93 near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And, of course, just 1 year ago came the attack on and loss of even more lives at the American Embassy in Benghazi. What do you guys think we can learn and take away from all this violence? It just seems to never stop. It seems that radical Islam has no regard for human life, and even among their own peers many times, if what I've read is true.
Yes, indeed. It is scary, a very scary world that we live in today. And I think through these events, you know, the curtain is being lifted up, and we're actually seeing what evil really is. Yeah. You know, a lot of times we go through life blinded to that. We know evil exists, but we just really don't know the nature of evil. And you know, in World War II with Hitler and Nazi Germany, I mean, the curtain was raised, and
absolutely,
you're just shining a bright light on what evil was. And I think the same is true on September 11th, 2001. We saw evil. We stared at it right in the face, and we realized that there are people that are being controlled by supernatural forces that have a total disregard for human life. Yeah. They have a total disregard for the God of this creation and for creation itself. They want to be in control, in charge, and that is just the result of, I believe, demonic influence.
Right.
Just quite frankly.
Yeah.
That's where evil comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan is the one who is committed to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what happened 9/11, 12 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, this broadcast goes into New York City and Washington, D.C., and other areas around the country. And folks, if you have something you'd like to add to the conversation, if you have some pressing issue you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question, anything along that nature, well, give us a call. The lines are wide open right now at 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. Call now.
But it's interesting to think back on that particular day. Like I said, it was 12 years ago, and I was on my daily commute into the office, and I normally listen to a sports talk radio station as I'm going from point A to point B. And, of course, they were covering the events that were happening. And these guys do a lot of funny routines, and, you know, they do talk about sports sometimes. But here, you know, all that went away, and they were as human as you could ever imagine. And covering this event with dignity, with honor, with just hearts heavy, it was riveting to listen to. But I always appreciate those guys.
Yeah.
They just brought the humanness to the event and how we would feel, and they really identified a lot of what was going on, and I think everybody's hearts on that particular day. I got into the office, and I think you were with your wife at that time,
right,
at a doctor's appointment, and we started following the story, and, you know, as it unfolded, you know, the second tower being hit, and then the towers come tumbling down, and all of the lives and the first responders and all of that, and then the Pentagon, and just you're just numbed. You just couldn't believe what was going on, and we were all wrestling. You know, we've got this live broadcast coming up. What do we do? Do we go on the air? Do we run a repeat? We did a quick survey of all of our station managers, and they just encouraged us to go out on the air.
Yeah.
Be a voice. Be, you know, a comfort to folks who are reeling from this. And so we went on the air that day, and I never forget, about halfway through, Christy from Washington, D.C. called us. And her question, what if I was one of the people in that building, where would I be right now? Mm-hmm. What would have happened to me spiritually? I got to know.
It's a sobering thought.
Oh, it was such a sobering thought. And you could just hear the fear, you know, coming through her. I mean, she was really contemplating her own mortality. What would happen beyond the grave? And that particular day, we had the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ with Christy and connect her to a firm foundation of God's grace and mercy.
Yeah.
And she experienced the resurrection story in her life. She went from death to life. And it was a very, very moving call. And then, of course, we had quite a number of people ask about, you know, radical Islam. Mm-hmm. You know, should we fear it? What is it? And all of those sort of things. And I remember, I think the next day, a Muslim person called the broadcast. And his question to me on that particular program was, you know, why is Christianity exclusive? Why do you say that Jesus is the only way to God? And so I just turned the question right back on him. Well, what do you say about your belief? Is there any other way to be saved other than, you know, following the Muslim belief system? He said, absolutely not. I said, well, who's exclusive here?
Right.
You
yeah.
are. And it just, you know, started raising awareness of what's really going on in the world and how we as believers have a role, that we, you know, have a place in this world and an opportunity to make a difference, to actually see change occur in the lives of people. We're not going to see wholesale changes in the way the world operates, but we can see people snatched from death and placed into life.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. That's what our role is. And if you're listening to this broadcast, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a role to play. God is calling you to be a voice, not out of obligation. He's just working his grace in you to rise up and to share the love of Christ, to be that light that shines in this darkness. And I encourage folks to contemplate that role and come to a point and say, yes, Lord, I'm making myself available to you to be a difference in this world today.
Yeah. Well, we have an open line for you right now, toll free 1-800-677-9377. Friends, we want you to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis, and we want to thank you for joining us. You can really join us by phone, again, at 1-800-677-9377.
Let's talk to Vincent, who's in Garden City, New York, on WMCA. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thank you for taking the call.
Certainly. How can we help you today?
My question, it didn't have so much to do with September 11th, although it has everything, I guess, to do with the truth of Scripture. The question is, how should Christians, Bible-believing Christians, approach near-death experiences of other Christians? You know, we could say, we could basically write off any near-death experience of another, you know, of another faith system. But with Christianity, my idea was always go to Scripture first. But sometimes, you know, when somebody tells a story, they seem so convincing. I know that Scripture is the end-all, but I'm just wondering if you had any experiences and how Christians should approach that.
Well, Vincent, what I would say is to approach it like, you know, any other experience a Christian might have.
Right.
You know, it's an experience. You know, I can't deny what somebody says that they saw or says that they experienced. But what I can do with that person is to say, don't, you know, pin your hopes for the future on that experience. Because
right.
you don't really know the source. You need to go back to the Word of God and let your hope rest fully in the work of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and resurrection. There's lots of people that say they've heard an audible voice from heaven, and that's what defines them. And they put all of their hope for life beyond the grave on that experience. Well, you can't be saved through an experience like that. You're saved by grace through faith. Jesus does the work of saving. We simply respond to his free offer of life and forgiveness. And that response is what the Bible calls faith. So that's where our hope needs to lie. That's where our faith needs to rest in what the Word of God has to say. So my encouragement to people is simply say, thank God for that experience that you've had, but don't let that experience be the defining moment in your life.
Right. And if any of it contradicts Scripture, it's basically put it to the side, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Word of God is our standard for truth. What we find in the Word of God is the truth that should define us, that should anchor us firmly to the person and work of Jesus Christ, and give us the hope that we need to face the future.
Right. Great. Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
You're welcome, Vincent. Thanks for your call. Good question today.
Yes, indeed. But you're tuned to Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock and plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, from Robert, a question. I've heard it said many times on your program, the phrase forgiven forever. However, the Bible says if you don't forgive others of their sins, God will not forgive you of yours. I've had many people, including Christians, stab me in the back, and I'm having a difficult time forgiving them for what they've done. So if I read the Scripture correctly, God will not forgive me. Is that correct? That's from Robert.
Well, that's what the Lord's Prayer says. Mm-hmm. We read the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive others their debts. And then it goes on, and it speaks to the fact that if you forgive men here, your Father in heaven will forgive you. If you don't forgive men here, then your Father in heaven won't forgive you. That's a pretty harsh statement. And I think it just, pulls the hope right out of us.
Yeah.
There's no hope for us if that's what forgiveness is based upon. But forgiveness is based upon the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. If you mark your Bibles, that verse is Hebrews 9, verse 22. Mark that verse. Memorize it. Go back to it often, because it's truth. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus Christ shed his blood once for all. When we come to him by faith, we receive forgiveness of sins. As John wrote in his first letter, "My dear children, I write this to you because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name." The book of Hebrews talks about this new covenant that we live in today. Jesus' death not only took away our sins, dealt with the sin issue once and for all, it ratified a brand new covenant. And in this covenant, God remembers our sins no more. That's great news. And he goes on to say, where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. So God the Father accepted the blood of Jesus Christ as sufficient payment for all of our sins. When we receive him, we receive total forgiveness of sins. So that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that was given before the cross, it was meant to show what God was really interested in as far as the heart was concerned, that his heart was a heart of forgiveness. And if you know anything about God, you will be forgiving others. And you could, based on that, say, "Lord, forgive me just as I've been forgiving others. I'm getting this." But none of us can really say that. We're not natural-born forgivers. We're natural-born grudge keepers. We're natural-born get-eveners. Those are the things that we like to do. So that prayer, in essence, buries us and shows us that our hearts are far away from God's very heart. And there's only one way that our hearts can be drawn near, and that is through the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's where we receive forgiveness of sin. So the Scripture goes on to say, for example, in Ephesians and Colossians, forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you.
It's a good question.
Yes, indeed.
1-800-677-9377. Calls beginning to come in, but still room for you if you dial quickly. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to John in Lakewood, Colorado, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, John.
Hi.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I was just telling the man, I really appreciated what you said to the last gentleman concerning the testing scripture, because he was talking about experience, and you said test it, and he said if it doesn't pass the test of scripture, disregard it. And I thought that I listen to you often, but that gave you all the credibility in the world. I think that I don't know you personally, and I never seen you on television or anything, but I think that really boosted your credibility about 1,000%.
Well, thanks, John, and I appreciate you saying that. I mean, we have nothing really to say to people. If we
Absolutely.
Say anything, it's just our thoughts, our opinions, our speculations, and ours are as good as anyone, I guess. But, you know, if people are really going to get help, they're going to have to get help from the Word of God. And that's why
Absolutely.
we've encouraged our listeners to always listen to what we have to say, but with this in mind, to take it to the Word of God and compare what we're saying to what the Word of God has to say, and because that's the standard of truth.
Absolutely.
It's the Holy Spirit that takes the words of Scripture and gives them meaning to us. And if we will do that, we can all, you know, stand together as brothers and sisters in Christ, united not by one's opinion or another's opinion, but by the clear teaching of God's truth as revealed to us in Jesus.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. That's why that caught my ear, because I'm teaching a class on the Harbinger this evening, matter of fact, and they're talking about experience and everything, and when you said about testing with Scripture, you should do that with everything.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, John, I hope that class goes well, and I hope you can
thank you very much.
Anchor those folks that are attending to the firm foundation of God's Word.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I just happened upon you. Are you out of Dallas?
We are out of the Dallas area.
Okay.
Have been on in that market for some time, but new to KRKS
okay.
in the last couple of months. So we thank
you. Well, I've listened to you that 2 months, so.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, thanks for tuning in, John. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. I think you'll really enjoy it. It might be something that you can use as a resource as you teach others about the love of Jesus Christ. You hang on. And, again, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
And during the month of September, we have been offering the Bart Millard, Andrew Farley book, The Hurt and the Healer, for those of you who are supporting the ministry at any amount, as a matter of fact. And if you'd like to take advantage of it, if you haven't yet done so, we encourage you to go online to Basic Gospel to request your copy and to make your gift, a gift of any amount. We'll get one on the way to you. Again, at basicgospel.net, or you can call to request your copy at 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Dominique in Yorktown, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Dominique.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine, thanks. How can we help you today?
Okay, I hope this isn't a silly question, but is it possible for somebody to have a vision of heaven or hell at a near-death experience, or to actually die and go to one of these places and then come back and tell about it? Because I've come across books like this in bookstores. I looked through it. One lady wrote a book saying she was taken on a tour through hell and through heaven. And then she wrote about it, but I don't know how true this can be. And the main reason why I had that question is because something I think you mentioned about people with near-death experiences.
Yeah, Dominic, somebody called and asked about that. You know, do we put a lot of stock into those experiences, or do we try to move people back to the foundation of God's Word? And I think a lot of folks that have those experiences, and you certainly can't deny them, and what they say they saw, you know, you just have to take it at face value, that was indeed what they saw, or that's what they believed that they saw. But that experience in and of itself doesn't save anyone. That experience in and of itself doesn't do a whole lot as far as the Word of God is concerned. Jesus Christ is the one who saves us. Jesus Christ is the one who died. He physically hung on a cross. He physically bled. He agonized over the pain that he suffered by standing in our place. And then that body was taken off a cross and put into an empty grave. And 3 days later, that body came out alive. Jesus Christ was alive. And it's upon that event, that singular event, that our hope and our faith lies. If we put it in any other experience other than that truth, we're going to go astray. And so we just have to say, yes, those things happen and people have talked about them. And, you say, praise God for that. And hopefully it just gives a person a greater resolve to abide in the resurrected Christ and to really let their feet get firmly or more firmly planted in him and in him alone.
Okay, that gives me a better understanding of things. I do believe that Jesus died for us and he was resurrected from the dead and we're saved if we believe in him. So if someone had those near-death experiences, even if they had visions of heaven or hell, I'm not going to say they did or they didn't, but I understand what you're saying. That won't save that person or us. It's the fact that Jesus died and was resurrected was what saves us.
Absolutely. That's it. There's no other way to be saved except by grace through faith.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Dominique. Thanks for your call today. Great question. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book as well. You hold on.
Thank you.
And we'll be giving that information again in just a couple of minutes.
Well, let's quickly go to Tim in Jamaica, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Tim.
How you doing, guys? This is the Beatles, Days and Ones. And also, what happens when you die? You'll be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord?
That's exactly what Scripture teaches. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks about this body that we inhabit this body, but there's going to be a point in time where the body dies and we go at that point to be with the Lord. So we're absent from the body, absent from this earthly tent, and we go into God's presence. We go to be with Jesus Christ. And I think that's an important thing for us to know. We talk a lot about heaven. We're going to go to heaven when we die, and we want to know what heaven is like. What does it look like? And we see some images of it, streets of gold and all of this sort of thing. But it's not the place, it's the person that we're going to be with. That's what Scripture is all about. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's
testimony. Everybody is going to heaven, though, right?
Only those who have received Christ as Lord and Savior. Folks are going to go who haven't received Christ. They're going to go stand before the great white throne, and they're going to be judged, and their eternal destiny will be revealed to them at that point, and they will experience what the Bible calls the second death. But those of us who are...
When you confess to the Lord, that means that you're saved. Will that prevent you from being on the judgment day seat?
Tim, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess
That's
with
right.
your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, when you die, you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that on the judgment seat when everybody's going to be judged by the Lord.
Yeah, you will just go to the Bema seat and have a wonderful time with the Lord at that moment. Well, Tim, let me put you on hold. We're out of time on this broadcast, okay? Hold on.
Friends, and remember, Basic Gospel remains on the air only through your ongoing support. And for a gift of any amount, we'll send you the Bart Millard Andrew Parley book called The Hurt and the Healer. Simply go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net to request your copy and make your gift. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that's that number 1-800-727-2828 for The Hurt and the Healer. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.